What used to speak to me when I was young was my father sitting at a little pedal organ in Bryson Street. One of these little things you push. And he loved to sing. And I remember my father raising his voice, and boy, did it speak to me. Will the circle be unbroken by and by? I never remember a time when I didn't know the gospel. My mother told me that she brought me to the meetings in a shawl. They have all sorts of sophisticated things nowadays. They have all sorts of baskets. You lie forward, you lie back. It's amazing all the different instruments they have for babies nowadays. Well, in my case, it was just a shawl. Just wrapped up. Brought to the meeting. She said, when there was room in the meeting, she used to have spread me out in the seat. I must have been reasonably good, you know. But I was born and brought up under the sound of the gospel. Never a moment in my life did I not know that I needed to be saved. I always knew that I needed to be saved. And that's the sort of background that I was born and brought up in. You know, I often say, the boys called me the religious one. My mother used to just have to stand outside the door. I was born and brought up in a little terrace house in East Belfast. I said in one meeting, two up, two down, someone said, what's that? And they didn't understand. Two rooms upstairs and two rooms downstairs. And my mother used to just come out onto the street, and we didn't like it, you know. I did not. And she used to cry, Bobby, time for the meeting. And everything stopped. And you had to go to the meeting. I didn't like that. And my itinerary for the week was as follows. Sunday morning, I used to sit behind and see the Christians break the bread. Do you know, that's the simplest gospel meeting of all. Bread, precious body. Blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's the price. Concentrating the mind on the work of the Lord Jesus. The afternoon, I went to Sunday school. At night, I used to be taken to the prayer meeting. That doesn't happen anymore. But I never missed a prayer meeting. And you know, I used to hear these big men, and they used to get down on their knees and cry to God for Bobby's salvation. Oh, says someone, that would give you an inferior complex. They're into all this psychology today, aren't they? No, what it done for me was this. It made me very conscious that those men, they had an interest in me. They wanted to see me saved, and they were praying for me. And I was very conscious there was a God. It was going to prove invaluable to me in years to come. And then the gospel meeting, I might have said one night during the gospel meetings, didn't like the open air meeting. Oh, I didn't like it. And what they used to have it at the old Hollywood Arches in Belfast, and I used to I knew exactly when the friends from school would be passing. See? So I used to get to one end, see them come down the street, and it was most amazing how I could maneuver right around the street in a sort of semicircle. And I used to start at one end, and as they passed one way, I passed the other way. I never wanted them to see me stand at an open-air meeting. I went to the Bible reading, children's meeting Thursday night, and the prayer meeting Thursday night. It was just one of those routines. I would never have said no to my father. I revered him. He was just one of those men, you know. He was a man that I knew he was genuine. I knew he was real. And I knew he had something that I hadn't got. Well, As time went on one occasion, what happened to me was that all these boys that I ran around with, they came and said they'd got saved. I think I was about 11 years of age. And they all came with great glee one day, about 13 or 14 of them, and they said, "We've got saved." I said, "Is that right?" "Yeah, that's right." And they said, "Will you come to these meetings?" I said, "Oh, all right. And they brought me to a little house on the other side of Ravenscroft Avenue, near Bloomfield Avenue. And it was amazing how they worked it, because they kind of maneuvered me up to the door. And then they were all standing behind me to see what would happen. And then one of them rapped the door, and a little lady came to the door. I would think the lady perhaps was saved all right. But you know, you will notice in the meetings that are past, we didn't try to pressurize anyone into salvation. That isn't salvation. But this little lady came and she said, "Oh son, do you want to be saved?" I said, "Well, it's not too easy with the boys all around you, is it? And they've told you, they've all got saved, you see." And I said something that was genuine, all right, because I never wanted to go to hell. I wanted to be saved and go to heaven. And I said to her, "Yes, want to be saved." She took me up a little bedroom. She said, "Say this after me." I can't remember what it was. And then she said, "You're saved. You're saved." Just like that. Well, I knew different, of course. Salvation is not putting up your hand, signing a card, believing a verse. Salvation in your Bible is believing in a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we knew that we weren't saved, but for about 2 or 3 weeks, we continued to go to those meetings until the lady told us that she was going to take us to the mission hall to tell her testimony, and we decided that that was enough. We couldn't tell about something that we hadn't got, and the whole 13 or 14 boys were all found down playing cricket on a little bit of waste ground in Ravenscroft Avenue, East Belfast. The reason I say that to you this evening is because I'm the only one, to my knowledge, out of that whole group of fellows that profess God's salvation. So we're very thankful tonight that God spoke to us again and God reached and saved our souls for eternity. Indeed, we had very little thought about salvation and these things until I was 15 and a half years of age. And at that time, gospel meetings came to Parkgate Avenue Gospel Hall, where my parents attended, and the speaker was a Mr. German. Mr. German was born in London. He was an Englishman living in Scotland, and he was over preaching in Ireland. And I started to attend those meetings. And one of the greatest difficulties I had was getting past the profession that we had made earlier. But I really wanted God's salvation. I recall on the Friday evening of the third week, we made up our mind that we were going to get salvation, and I would get it when my father wasn't with me, and that would be on a Monday evening of the fourth week. He was on shift work at the time, and the first 3 weeks of the month he was able to get to the meetings, but the fourth week he was on late shift and I had to go on my own. I remember saying on the Friday evening, "Well, I'll get saved on the Monday evening." I went into work as usual on the Saturday, and we were working on an ice cream shop that used to be at the old Hollywood Arches over in East Belfast. We had done a lot of the inside work. I was doing some of the outside work. And I was on top of this large roof. when suddenly I slipped and down the roof I came, and through an asbestos secondary roof. I picked myself up and I was amazed that I wasn't hurt, but I went back to my employer's shop and he sent me home. I must have been still very shaken at the time, but I crossed over the Newton Arch Road and proceeded to cross over where the old Inglis's biscuit bakery factory used to be, when I heard suddenly a screech of brakes. I stopped to see a car just a few feet from me, and a little verse came down into my soul, God speaketh once, yea twice, and man perceiveth it not. I was certainly shaken up on that occasion, and if I wanted to be saved beforehand, I can tell you that I really wanted salvation from that point onwards in a very personal way. I don't remember much about the meetings on the Lord's Day. That was the Saturday. I would have been at the meetings, I feel very sure about that, because I never missed a meeting. But I never forget the meeting that took place on the Sunday evening. I remember looking up at the clock and it was just a few minutes to eight. I can't remember much what the preacher preached on, but I looked up to the clock and I thought to myself, there it is, the meeting's nearly over, and I said I would get saved tonight, and I'm not saved yet. Well, I made up my mind that night that I was going to get salvation. Mr. German had 10 minutes of prayer after every gospel meeting, and I went out through the back door, but into a little cloakroom. It is now the kitchen of Parkgate Avenue Gospel Hall. We used to have our prayer meetings there. And I waited until the 10 minutes of prayer meeting was over. Those 10 minutes, the devil really worked upon us. We can remember well. We thought to ourselves, well, just get out and no one will know you're here. And there's plenty of time yet. You're only 15 and a half years of age. Go out and enjoy yourself. And what will you tell your companions if you get God's salvation? Well, I remember as I stood in that room that evening, I said to myself, it's tonight or never. I want my sins forgiven and I want to be sure that I'm saved for the great never-ending eternity. The first one that came into the room was a Mr. McCarley. He was my Sunday school teacher at that time, and the dear man asked me what was wrong. I told him that I wanted to be saved, and he read a few verses with me, and then he left. Indeed, shortly afterwards, he emigrated to Australia, and we don't know much about him from that point onwards. And then Mr. German came in, and he came in with his Bible, and he read with us all the well-known verses, and we had known most of them from our childhood upwards, and they made absolutely nothing impression upon us, nothing to us. But I remember him handing me his Bible and saying to me, will you read that little verse? And it was John 3 and verse 36. And I started, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And then he said, read it aloud. And I started, and I really thought about the words as I was reading down that verse. And I got, he that believeth on the Son. And I had been trying to believe and trying to trust. And my whole life, the difficulty of believing, it was a constant difficulty that we couldn't get past. And then we forgot about believing. We forgot about believing, and we got occupied with just one word in the text, and that was the word hath. H-A-T-H. We looked at it, and we thought to ourselves, well, hath means you have it. What have you? Well, the verse says everlasting life. And how do you get it? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And just in a moment, we suddenly realized, well, that's it. That's the simple plan of God's salvation. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I said nothing to the preacher, and he prayed, and I left. And I decided I would make sure that what I had was real. And I was coming up, I'll never forget, coming up Ravenscroft Avenue, and it was a beautiful evening, and the stars were out. And I thought, my, how simple. The whole plan of salvation, the Lord Jesus, he has finished the work, he has shed his blood, and salvation is offered as a gift. The gift of God is eternal life. And I kept turning it over in my mind the whole way up home that evening. Well, just as I arrived at the front door of the little house we were born and brought up in, the door opened, and Mr. Billy Curry, the father of Jim Curry of Japan, was right behind the door. And I thought, you know, that no one knew I had any concern about salvation. I'd disguised it. But Mr. Curry was well aware that I was interested in salvation. He looked at me and I looked at him, and he said, "Well, Bobby," and before I knew it, out it came, "Mr. Curry, I got saved this evening." Never forget the words that the dear man said to me. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And we have proved that over the years. When you put God first, then all the other things will fall into the rightful place. I'll never forget the coming home of my father that evening. My dear father entered the little kitchen, and I looked at him and he looked at me, and the tears were flowing down both our cheeks. And we didn't even need to say anything, but I did say to him, "Father, I got saved this evening." He said to me, "I thought it would be tonight." I said, "How do you come to that conclusion?" He said, "Well, just at 9 o'clock this evening, I was bringing the bus to the depot. There was no passengers on it. And at the old gas works on the Ormer Road in Belfast, I pulled the bus into the side of the road, switched out the lights, and spent the next 10 minutes in prayer, praying for Bobby's salvation." And that was the 10 minutes, you know, that the devil was having a go at me and telling me in no uncertain terms there was time enough yet to get the matter of salvation sorted out. And he said to me, "I opened my Bible," and he quoted me a verse. I can't remember what it was. I would love to recall that verse. And he said, "God told me that Bobby would get salvation this evening." Well, it was a wonderful evening in our home, I can tell you. There was great rejoicing over salvation coming to Bobby. Well, I had always been told, and it was emphasized to me, that you had to nail your colors to the mast. When you got God's salvation, you let everyone know about it. And I decided the following day, the Tuesday, as I went into work, that I would tell the individuals in work that I had got saved. Well, they were quite difficult men at the best of time. They were ungodly men. But I decided that the worst one, a chap called MacDonald, that I would go to him. And I feared him. And I would go to him first, and I would tell him that I had got salvation. I walked up to him, and I told him, last night, I got God's salvation. Well, to my utter amazement, tears started to run down his cheeks. I looked at the dear man, and I thought to myself, what's happening? And he said to me, Bobby, you've got the best thing that's possible to have in life. I said, how would you know about that? He said, when I was a little boy, I was born and brought up in children's meetings and in Sunday schools. I went to Donegal Road, and I went to Maranatha children's meetings and gospel meetings and Sunday school. I do remember going to see him when he was sick. I was having meetings in a tent in that part of Belfast. And I went into the house, and that dear man had a brain tumor. And all he could say to me was that he had left it too late. And we trust the dear man before he died that he got God's great salvation.